You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
When I fell off the train and we were in Vancouver and I was, there was the beginning of the fentanyl too and stuff like that. So I was trying to score some dope. And he just said something that it hurt me so bad. He said, oh, you're not the same. You're not the same when you drink. You're not. I don't think I like that guy a lot. He told me that, like, straight up. He never said that with a tone to hurt me, like, to confront me. But it was just, like, just some basic, like, you know what? I realized I don't like that guy really much. I prefer when you were sober.
Hey, what's up, Vox and Hops heads? I'm Matt, the vocalist of Cryptopsy and the host of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts, where I sit down with fellow metal musicians, talk about their lives, music, and craft beer. I hope you've been having a glorious month of February so far. We are officially halfway through Vox and Hops Sober February 2022, which is proudly presented by Pitch Black North, the Satanic Tea Company. Now, if you do not know who Pitch Black North is, let me tell you a little bit about them. Their motto is, every sip is blasphemy. All of their products are ethically sourced, they are expertly crafted, and they are only made in small batches. They make specialty tea and coffee, and they are just freaking awesome. Should head on over to their website, pitchblacknorth.com. That's PitchBlackNorth.com, so that you can check out some of their killer products, such as their Antichrist Pumpkin Spice Chai. It's just so damn cool. It contains black tea, ginger, cardamom, cinnamon, peppercorn, allspice, nutmeg, and clove. And it is not your basic blasphemous brew. If you were to pick up this killer tea, make sure to use the promo code VOXHOPS15, that's VOXHOPS15, and you will save 15% off of your entire purchase. Not only will you be picking up killer satanic tea, but you will also be supporting the podcast, and that would be something that I would appreciate. Massive cheers to the Satanic Tea Company for presenting Vox and Hops Sober February 2022. This Vox and Hops episode is presented by Heavy Montreal. Heavy Montreal is Montreal's premier metal promoter. They put on a bunch of killer shows all year long, but more than that, they also put on one of North America's best metal festivals, and that's the absolute truth. I have played just about every fest across the globe, and Heavy Montreal is up there with the best of them. I am beyond stoked to have Heavy Montreal behind the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. Now, before we jump into today's episode, I'd just like to ask you to follow the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast on the podcast platform of your choice. But more than that, I'm also asking you to rate it and write a review. Now, why do I want you to do that? Well, you have to imagine that if someone is looking for a new podcast to listen to, what do? They scroll down, they check out those reviews, they check out the ratings, and if those reviews and ratings are favorable, they are most probably going to give that podcast a chance. So by you rating and writing a review for the podcast stating why you love the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, you might actually be the person that sways someone's decision to become a future Vox and Hops head, and that would be something that I would truly appreciate. Now today on the podcast, I am with Dan Fisher of Get the Shot. Get ready, everyone. This is Vox and Hops episode number 325, which was recorded at January's Thirsty Thursday virtual hang.
I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Today I'm with Dan Fisher, the bassist and manager of Get the Shot. Dan, how are you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you for the invitation. I'm really glad to be here tonight.
I'm super stoked to have you with me. We are recording this at a Thirsty Thursday virtual hang, and this episode is for Sober February, so it's going to be all about sobriety, balance, and your life, basically.
Yeah, and that was my cue to be on the podcast, and I was glad when I heard that you were doing like a Sober February, so I was like, oh, this is my chance, and thanks to my our common friend Mick Deboulot, who hooked us up. So I'm really glad to be here, and I'm excited to crack that first any beer with you, and let's have a good time.
Let's go straight into it. What beer are you drinking? What beer are we going to be sharing virtually tonight?
I always been, and I'm still am a fast and heavy drinker. So I got plenty actually. So depending of how long it's gonna take. So I started carefully with My first one, which is from Microbrasserie Le Buck Ale.
Hell yes.
And I chose the Berliner Sun because I love that that crispy and acidic taste that the Berliner has. And if I chose Buck Ale, it's because when I quit drinking in 2017, we were not yet on that big trend of non-alcoholic beer. There was not a lot, actually. There was a few common, and it tastes like piss. I then the first one that I had was like the Molson one, mm-hmm. and the Labatt one, like just Labatt 0.5, and it was not good. And I was and when I tasted for the first time the Buck Ale IPA, it's called Découverte. I said, okay, there's a new world for me, and now I will be able to go through this with some drink, and nobody will know, and I'm gonna be fine, you know. So yeah, I'm gonna crack this and I'm gonna take a sip. So
fucking fantastic. And Le Buck Ale are really cool. They were an Ara brewery still, but they seem to have like totally leaned on non-alcoholic beers as their main focal point. They still do a few other beers, but I feel like they're being more adventurous and more innovative in the non-alcoholic game now. I think they've dropped like 4 or 5 of them now. It's exciting.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they were the first, one of the first, so to offer something different than just a lager or a typical blonde or ale, and to try something that tastes more like craft beer. So, mm-hmm. And I think they saw that this was their market, so they kind of jumped in it, and this is why I chose them to be first, because they were my first one, so... I'll always cherish them. So.
I love them. I love them. And I still enjoy them every once in a while. On my side, I'm going to be enjoying a Satanic Tea from Pitch Black North. Love Satanic Tea from Calgary, Alberta. If you guys don't know who this is, Dominic is awesome. The guy that runs this, their social media is just off the hook. Super just controversial and bothersome, and I love it. This is their black lavender. It contains black tea, lavender, peppermint, and natural vanilla flavor. Love it, Kent. Love it in them enough, and they're sponsoring Sober February, so cheers to them.
More than a gunpowder.
More than... Delicious. It's going to keep me hydrated as opposed to dehydrated and drunk.
Do you usually drink tea like while on tour before doing vocals or a show or something?
I do. I typically do drink a throat coat right before I jump on stage. I love those. It's like a natural tea with like licorice root in it and a whole bunch of other strange things, and there's honey in it, and I feel like it just sort of makes me feel better. But anything that you do on the road basically is just a habit, right? It's not actually doing anything, and if that habit makes you feel good, then keep doing it.
I'm always jumping on the tea when it's too late. Like when, oh, my voice is shut, now I'm fucked. Let's jump on that ginger and stuff like that. So, yeah, now if we can keep going on the beer a little bit, because this is a podcast about beer.
Go for it.
There's different way, and what I miss, because I'm sober since 2017, and I can talk about this. There's different reason why I quit drinking, but the thing that I miss is like the more the culinary aspect of it, you know, the thing that I used to love to taste different and, you know, well-crafted beer and well-crafted liquor and spirit. And there was some finesse in it. You know, there's some love and there's some passion in it. And it's the artistic point of it too that I miss. And I enjoyed it a lot, and now this is the thing that I miss about it. I feel like beer and even, you know, cider and wine, and like Quebec right now is it's exploding. There's tons of new stuff to drink, and we can never have, like, there's never enough microbrewery. There's gonna be never enough of different stuff, even if you can taste it once in a lifetime, because it's just like it's a spur of the moment. Yeah, so that's a great thing that I have to do. You know, I will never be able to taste that again. Mm. So this is the only thing that I'm sad, you know, about it. But I don't regret my choice, because it was a question of life and death for me. So yeah, it's at that point. It's just because that. But yeah, this, I totally miss the thing. So thanks to some of the microbrew right now who are doing like, I'm having like a BSA from Quebec too, and I'm having a Milk Heller too as well that I might talk about. So there's plenty of option right now. So that tastes good, and that just offer me the funk of a craft beer. So I'm kind of glad to have the new product right now.
It's a variety too, as opposed to just, it's not like the old days, right? When our grandparents used to drink, they had the beer. They drank that beer.
Oh, you had Labatt Porter. If you want to get funky, you have Labatt Porter. No. Have you tasted that?
No, but I've heard of it. I've heard of it though, yeah.
It was thick, man. You can cut a slice of Labatt Porter. I tell you, yeah.
So we're a bit spoiled with all of the stuff we get to taste, and breweries know that, yeah. And they play with the hype and know that we want that new thing, mm-hmm. which is something that's dangerous and addictive.
But but I feel like when you drink it for the taste and something, and I know that you can, once you have like one and you can appreciate one or two good beer and stuff, if the alcohol or the fun in it starts to sparkles, this is when the taste of it don't matter for me. It was not, you know, I was just like, I can drink anything at that point.
Yeah.
So this is like, because at first when I quit drinking, I had to always have like 12 beers with me just because I was not, or Heineken Zero or, you know, just something to drink. It was, I was spending more money on non-alcoholic drinks just to keep me busy. And like, and right now I can go out, I can do shows while drinking only one beer or two beer and having, you know, just drinking for the fun of it, for the taste of it, and just tasting different product. I don't feel the need to drink 17 Heineken, you know, and just be bloated, like just full of gas.
And no inhibitions coming in.
Yeah, exactly. So I was known, my name was always like Danny Boozer back then.
That's correct.
So I was, the thing that was hard, quitting, actually, I can do, I don't know if the people, I guess if you're doing a sober February, it's because the people are interested of hearing different stories. When I was really young, I started drinking maybe when I was 11 or 12 or something, like getting shit drunk, like totally hammered. Yeah, it was quite early, and you know, alcohol was always into my family and it was a lifestyle. Like I was, even at 7, I was drinking like a wine cooler with zero alcohol, or just like zero beer for my old uncle that was alcoholic, because I couldn't wait to drink beer for the first time and stuff like that. So it was always like I grew up in an environment of party and where alcohol was always there, but it was kind of validated, if you understand what I mean. It was just like, it's cool, and I kind of grew up a personality around that. I was bullied a bit because I was not popular, and I was, you know, fat and stuff like that. So once I was able to handle my liquor and handle my cheap beer, like it was a Boomerang or tornado, you know, Tornado.
Hell
back
yes,
then,
that
you
dude,
know,
yeah.
Those kind of stuff.
And so I, bad.
Yeah, Colt 45 and stuff like that. Once I was able to hold, you know, my drink, and I was becoming that guy. Do you know Danny Boozer, the dude that can drink more than you? And it was like,
it was your identity.
Exactly. And I was proud of it. So I built this whole, you know, this whole character around it, and it became like, once you get involved with mental health and stuff like that, and all you just going through your formative years of your life, you know, just going like to teenage and then young adult and stuff like that, and by just drinking more and more and becoming that guy, Danny Boozer, and all the bands that were coming to Quebec City, oh yeah, we're gonna crash at Dan Boozer's house and we're gonna drink shit tons, it's gonna be amazing. I was always doing crazy stuff. So that was a hard thing for me in 2017 to just realize that, okay, that thing is going to kill me because I'm struggling with depression. It's I've always struggled with depression. It's in my family too. It's in, you know, this is in my gene, I guess. So I'm like, okay, this thing is going to kill me. And I have people that I love and that loves me in my around me. So I don't want to hurt them and I don't want to hurt myself. So I came to the conclusion that I had to stop. So the hardest thing, there was a few things to learn to how to live again without that it's more than it's more than a product. It's more than a refreshment. It's mm-hmm. more than a, you know, it's becoming something so embedded in your own
psyche and your patterns. This happens, I need to have a beer. That happens, I'm having a beer. It's yeah. more than a habit. It becomes like a ritual and a way of life.
Exactly. And a beer was just water at some point for me. I was it was not getting me to the point. Maybe some barley wine would do it, but it was not really good, or it was not my thing actually. But I was more into cognac and stuff like that, and I worked in a bar, so my by booking. Do you know? Have you played there? Maybe back then it called Bar Orsainville. In a suburb around Quebec.
It sounds very familiar, yes.
Because I've done a few shows, like, for almost 10 years there. It's a shitty dive bar. But, yeah. You know, I made my life out of it. It was like, I was in a band, I was in Get the Shot, I was using that venue to just book bands and exchange, and just, it was my general quarter, so.
That's almost like a launch pad, too, which is very interesting.
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly, totally. But, yeah, so I was working that for maybe four nights out of the week. So it just became, I was maybe the only bartender that had to go to take some money after the shift. I was not making any tips because I was spending on liquor, but I had to go to the ATM at the end of my shift to, you know, get 100 to just give it to my boss. And just,
wow, okay.
So that was a hard thing. So, that was hard to just kind of learn how to redo and everything and just to basically just quit. And it was not cold turkey. There's a few steps out of it, so yeah.
I've spoken to a bunch of people that have gotten sober over the years, and the thing that I've learned the most is that there is no right one way.
No.
Just like writing a song or anything, there is no right one way. It is your way and what will work for you.
Yeah.
That is important. Being Dan Boozer and turning Dan Boozer off. Did he ever turn off? At first, when you were 11, as it built up into becoming Dan Boozer, there must have been like you turned him on when you went to a party or something.
Yeah.
At what point did it become it was Dan Boozer that was in control and Dan was no longer around?
That's a good question. By the way, I think he's still around.
Mm-hmm. He's never going to go anywhere. Yeah. From
no,
when I've spoken to people.
And that character, that persona, is probably the same dude that jumps on stage like crazy. It's probably the same dudes that most of my friend, I'm not going to talk about myself at the third person. So I'm going to stop that right now. That dude, the dude. No, so I'm probably the same persona that my friends love when I get silly, when I get crazy and excited, and I can turn on that guy. But that's still a burden for me, like once in a while, to be that guy. Mm-hmm. Like I call it the Bonhomme Carnaval.
Yep.
For those who
yep.
knows the reference.
Yep.
Like and my job is I'm a business development for thepointofsale.com, mm-hmm. which is thepointofon.com, which is a like kind of a even bride, but from Quebec City. So, and I'm trying to meet some new customers and stuff like that, and I can turn on that persona again, like, hey, what's up, hey, come on, blah, blah, blah. You know, that kind of, that dude can be great, it's part of me, but once I was getting, like, drunk and too, you know, inebriated, I lost control totally of him, and that was never enough. It's always pushing the boundaries. And that made me do some crazy, stupid thing. And I still don't have the answer of, once you get like totally fucked up and you say things, people are like, oh, you said those things or you did those things. I was like, was it me? Or I still don't have the answer. There's a part of you that made you do some stupid stuff like that. And this is why I had to stop just to think and look back of, yo, why did I hurt my friend? Or why did I do that? So I had to stop to just... put that persona in a cage to be totally like to sober down like, but sober up, like, just totally my persona and my, just cool off, man, cool down. So that dude is still around sometimes. I don't think that it's not my favorite part of myself, but it's, I have to live with that funky part of me. So, So and my friends can tell a bit more about it. Sometimes I'm like, oh, geez, I was too excited. Am I too excited? And now I'm into coffee a lot.
Yes.
That can sparkle a few things.
It is an addictive personality, basically, right? So if you're going to take away one of the addictions, that addictive personality is going to be there. So you're still going to, you're going to be addicted to things, whether it be buying records, coffee, working out. You see a lot of people that become sober, that become really into fitness.
I love that. It could be just a little bit of it, but that's other thing that I don't talk about it really often. Actually, I never talked about it. I struggle right now with food too, as well, since I have, like, it's getting fucked up, because once you say I'm not doing coke anymore, or I'm not doing beer or alcohol, you just quit.
Yeah,
you quit. You don't drink it or you don't take it. But with food, which is so fucked up, is you have to eat to stay alive. You have to eat a few times a day and every day. So this one is a new challenge for me. So, I've gained a lot of weight, and I try to. It don't matter the weight or the way I look and stuff like that, but it's just my relation with food and stuff like that I have to still work on it. So when I quit drinking, it was the beginning of I just have the word in French, like a huge chantier, like, you know, a work field, or, you know,
a construction site, or
a construction. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That was just the beginning of okay, you have to stop to what do you want to become? Where do you want to go? I don't think it's necessary to go back to see why have I become that? Why was I so hurt and depressive, or why I don't find it, like, what happens stays in the past and stuff, but I just want to look ahead, so look in the future.
And it's important to do that. You lost a bunch of things, and I'm only bringing it up because you sent me a bio, and I'm interested in the story. You were running your own merch company called Lumber Merch, and apparently due to your addictions, you lost this company. Can you open up about that?
It was it's a long way to, like you said, there's no recipe to cut off drinking or to quit drinking. And I don't hold a grudge about it. I still think that drugs are good and drugs are cool. And I'm going to send myself on another path, and I'll get back to Lumber Merch after, but, once in a while, the summer, I love to do some shrooms with Michael Deboulot, you know? I still enjoy to do something that I cannot be addicted to. You cannot... anyway, not for me. You cannot take LSD two days in a row. Impossible, you know? You just have one big awakening, and I'm good for the year. Or I love to, you know, just... It's not so... So I don't think that it's the evil, and I don't hold a grudge, but I just... know what I can touch and what I can't touch. So your question, Lumber Merch. Yeah, so in 2017, I kind of went on... it was a thing that was building up. You know, you're thinking, going myself, okay, you know, I'm going on a path that is pretty destructive. So things are kind of... Seeds are planting, and you start thinking. So I kind of removed myself from the bar where I was working. And I just went into a day job, like, okay, I'm going to start my own merch printing company. And I know a lot of friends from bands, touring bands and stuff like that. They're going to do business with me. And and things were building up, and it was good. So I had to wake up like at 6 in the morning instead of going to bed at 6. Yeah. It was like just I was trying to do it like it was my cold turkey thing. Like, okay. Don't go to bed at 6. Wake up at 6.
Because in your mind, the location of where you were spending your time was the problem.
Yeah, I guess. But it was not. Yeah, it was not helping. Mm-hmm. So I was not totally wrong, but I had to change lifestyle and do drastic. And right now, maybe back then I didn't see as clearly as I can see right now. But so I changed and I started building that company. But while, you know, the struggle of of you know, grinding on the road with a band too, and being on tour and trying to do like a hardcore band from being in a hardcore band from Quebec City, which is it can be hard. There's not a lot of people that gives a shit about what's happening in Quebec. You know, it was hard for us in the States because it was people were like, yeah, why are we going to listen to a band from Quebec when we have like dozens, you know, tons of bands from the States. So
true hardcore from New York, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So it was building some stress, and I was trying to grind on the road and build my own company and stuff. And then I went on tour with a band called Comeback Kid, which are my great friends for many, many years. And I used to have great parties with them, and they knew Danny Boozer.
Yep.
They knew the guy. They knew Danny Boozer. And we went on tour with a band called These Nuts, too. And yeah, These Nuts, they were like huge, huge, huge partiers. Like, they are probably in the NHL of party. They were. I just came back from that tour, and I said, and I knew that something was like, okay, now something is broken inside me, and I don't think it's gonna get back. Too much coke, too much booze, too much something. I said, I felt it physically. So I said, oh, I'm gonna cut drinking, try. So we went on tour in Quebec with a band called Obliterate.
Mm-hmm.
You might know them. Yep. With Obliterate, and they were chugging like black labels, like. Probably one, every guy has like 24 packs of black labels, and they were chugging it. And I was trying to do this sober thing, and it sucked, man. It was not fun, but it was just, I was not ready. I was not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I jumped onto another tour while building the company and stressing it out. And, so I jumped into another tour, with, Obi the Brave, Alex, Erien, and, some of the guys in that band too, with These Nuts too as well. Some of the guys were partying too, so really hard. So I just, I jumped out of the train, of the sober train? Yeah.
You fell off the wagon.
I fell off the wagon. So I fell off the wagon, and then it was on.
Okay.
It was on.
Dan Boozer was like just digging out of your skin.
Yeah, but no, it was not the funny guy. It was just like the dark fucking asshole guy that just want to get like totally numb, just numb. And I had all this money from the business that was not technically my money.
Yeah.
And I went on a spree, man. I went on a spree. I drank everything that I had to drink. My girlfriend, I'm still with the same girlfriend for 18 years.
Wow.
Yeah, she was working in Peru back then. She was working to help the situation of women in Coique, which is like kind of a slum in Lima. So yep. She was outside for like 6 months, and I lived like Scarface, man. Like the table was like the table. I lived on the top in a loft on the top of the microbrewery called La Barberie in Quebec City. So I live on the top, and I had like this giant pile of cocaine, and like it was an everyday thing. It was not fun anymore. It was just like it became. I never thought that I'd become that guy, like where cocaine, an expensive thing like cocaine, became like a commodity, like coffee or something. It was just like pass around the table, have a bit of it, or just, you know, a bomb for a key or something, and I tried to live in that frenzy kind of whirlwind where just I'm building my business and you know, I'm going on tour and stuff like that, and then I broke down.
Hmm.
Everything just it snapped. So I had to take a break, and I had to just put my knee down, and I said, okay, I cannot do. I'm not functioning anymore. So the work is done. I cannot go back to work, and I was doing like I was a couch potato. Just I cannot. I have to stop. It just stopped. It's a total nervous breakdown. Mm-hmm. You know, I went to the doctor, and I just do all the step, and I was like, I'm surrendering. Tell me what to do, and I'm just doing the thing. And I think it took me like to have my last drink. It took me a few months. I was still doing like the meetings and stuff like that, and doing like all the rendezvous with the. Like you and go there to another doctor and to see that people while drinking at the same time. And I was trying, like, it was just, I'm gonna go around the corner just to take a walk. And I would end up like hammered.
Really?
Just,
wow, okay.
Yeah, it was just like, I was trying, like, let me try to take a walk, just to go outside and have a walk. My girlfriend was so stressed out, like.
Anytime you leave, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, and I had my my last drink. It was with Goose from Come Back Kid. Yeah, so, and I had, yeah. And I had my last drink. It was just vodka with, it was just straight up vodka. But anyway, that sucked, man. A big glass of vodka at 4 a.m. But, yeah.
There's a bunch of things that, well, congratulations on that for sure. A bunch of things are resonating. When you were just out of control, what were your bandmates' perception of you? Because I can only imagine touring with someone that's in that state, unless they're also having that much fun, it could be very bothersome.
You'll get the reference. They used to say, like, when they looked at me and say, un homme est son péché.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you get the reference. Yeah. Like when I was like splitting like a dough, like on ice behind the Trou du Diable when we played at the Wabazo, yeah, like, yeah. Like on the, you know, on the floor or something, like, un homme est son péché.
Okay.
So basically it was all fun and game when we were in the early mid 20s and something like that. So we were a band that used to party a lot, except JP the singer is straight edge. Mm-hmm. Always been, but not always been, but since I know him, he always been a straight edge, but he was never preaching about it. He was just always with us partying and looked at us and never judging. So we were a hard party band. So, but it just, I don't know if I was the kind of locomotive of that party, but strangely, when I quit, the whole band toned down.
You were the kerosene on the fire.
Yeah, exactly. But the drummer was my, David was my party buddy, mm-hmm, a lot. And, you know, you have a family now. So he has a family. He has two kids. And so it's just life went on and I cooled down and the whole thing just, now nobody drinks anymore, like on the road. Maybe Tom, the guitar player, will have one beer or two. David still loves to party because he got a family, he got two kids. So when he's on the road, he's having a few beers. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. But there's some people, good for them, man. Good for him. Mm-hmm. If he can party and get totally fucking wasted, good for him. Have some fun and then go to work and wake up with your kids the next morning. Good for him. It's not my case because like I said, it's never enough. So, and I, it's that damn depression, always that damn depression, just that thing. So, yeah, the whole band, I think I heard them at some point. They're really happy that I quit. Mm. I think I, there was some, there's a lot of congratulations and a lot of, there's a story that hurt me, like on the last tour that I told you with, when I fell off the wagon. We had a fill-in drummer, which his name is Fred, by the way. So he played in the Gloria Victis back then. So hi, Fred. When I fell off the train and we were in Vancouver and I was, there was the beginning of the fentanyl too and stuff like that. So I was trying to score some dope. And, one night I was tired and about to go on, to score some dope and go on a party. And he just said something that, it hurt me so bad. He said, oh, you're not the same. Mm. You're not the same when you drink. You're not. I don't think I like that guy a lot. He told me that, like, straight up. We're like, he never said that with a tone to hurt me, like to confront me. But it was just like, just some basic, like, you know what? I realized I don't like that guy really much. I prefer when you were sober. So that's it. Oh, okay. That's not cool. So, yeah, probably, we had some fun. It was never, some days were really cool, man. It was really fun. We had a blast. We had a laugh. There's some good, crazy stories. I'm thinking about writing a book at some point because I have so many crazy stories that, the people outside of the metal scene or even the touring scene won't Believe it. The Muggles. The Muggles. Yeah, I'm quoting Harry Potter. But the Muggles won't believe it. There's some crazy stories. So I think it was fun. We laugh about it, but everybody's kind of glad that I quit, I think.
What about you, the identity, having to craft basically a new identity, your true identity, with, let's say, touring bands that are coming through since you've been sober? And they have to meet you again.
It's still, sometimes it's still hard for me to, because I know that I'm not as fun or as, you know, explosive as before. But people that matters, and this is like, this is a war inside me. This is like a fight. I don't have to prove something that I'm not. And if I, it feels good. I'm really at a good place. I'm on my ex right now. I'm about to have like my first kid, which it can pop up right now.
Congrats!
By the way.
Yes, I know.
Like it's so close. And I'm just starting new companies. I'm gonna get back into merch game. Mm-hmm. First announcement. Nobody knows, but it's gonna be called Guillotine.
Love it.
So yeah, I'm gonna get back into merch game, and I have this new. I'm managing Get the Shot right now. So I created this kind of new management agency called Quarrel Agency. Sorry, I'm like burping at the same time, talking and drinking beers. Yeah, so I'm really glad where I'm doing, and I don't want to. It's gonna be crude, but I don't want to kill myself anymore, which is a good thing in life.
Yes,
supposedly it's a good thing.
I don't think it was the purpose of the human being.
Yeah, and the people that matters, like my band, they know that I'm more focused. But for me, like I'm going to bed, like past a certain time, and I can wait to. But I've done tour sober, and at a certain time, you know, I'm going to bed. But I know that I'm not the guy like the crazy stories. I'm not in them anymore. I know that they're. I'm gonna have a talk with them, with the people on tour, the bandmates and stuff like that. But they're not gonna come to me to say, hey, let's go, let's do that and stuff like that. So I'm not, but it's okay. And I just have to remind myself that I'm happy with the things that matters for me and the people that matters. And I don't have to prove nothing. But sometimes there's a part of me that still wanna be loved.
Yeah.
And still wanna entertain and still wanna. This was my thing, man. This was my thing, like the kind of sad clown a bit, or you know, the mask that I put it on, like with the silliness. But yeah, there was the boozer thing and the I can drink more than you thing. But there was also the sparkle guys and you know, that guy is so overexcited and stuff like that. So yeah, I still have to just talk to myself like it's okay and I don't give a fuck, you know. You love me. It's fine. If you don't, it's fine too. So.
Then they weren't your friend to begin with. Then if they can't love you for who you are, and they expect you to be the party guy,
exactly. But that's a hard thing. That's a mature thing to say, because in the end, we just want to be loved.
Yeah.
At some point, yeah, we just need that. So we just, it's not cool to be the bullied or you know, it's not cool. You want to be. Accepted. So
absolutely,
yeah, that's a thing. That's a struggle, everyday struggle.
But new management company, that's exciting. You're mm-hmm. You're hunting for new bands, or bands are coming to you? How is this going to work out?
No, I'm still focusing, because I guess we can still talk about it, because it's not done, man. Mm-hmm. We're still in a pandemic, and
yeah,
it's strange, because when you, I got the invitation from you, I just went back in your catalog to listen to all the old podcasts. And your first question was always, how are you coping with the pandemic and stuff like that? And we're still in it, man. So so I'm doing a lot of work for the ticketing company. But it's not as exciting anymore, because I'm not on the field to sign new clients and to get the... I'm not trying to, so it's not as exciting. So right now, what I created, that management agency and that merchandising stuff, it's only for the purpose of Get the Shot first.
Got it.
We're going to have a new album in 2022.
Yes, you are.
And we've been, yeah, it's been sleeping forever. We've never took so long because I'm feeling blessed like that we didn't release the album just like in February mm-hmm. before the pandemic.
Yeah. So many albums were forgotten because of that.
Yeah, man. So we're holding on it, and which might be a curse though, because we're always like we're working with your buddy Chris Donaldson on that one, and I think it's like he's doing the mixing and mastering right now. And I think it's version 11 right now of the album really? Because we're always
tweaking
we're always
things.
Like, oh yeah, it's just it's probably a curse. But so yeah, there's a big release that's coming up, and I got all this new partnership with a new booker in the States.
Awesome.
From the guys at I'm gonna announce it. It's the guys at TKO, Jonathan Wilson. That works with Revocation, Havoc, and Darkest Hour.
Massive.
So, shout out to Jonathan. So yeah, this is going to be a good thing. So, I'm like, okay, I have to get a good structure and not fuck it up this time. I know I need to pay my taxes. I need to be, like, you know, on things. So, basically, it's just, it's a lot of work just to do this proper thing, like, really good. And only forget the shop. And maybe other ventures if I'm writing a book or I'm going on a speaking word tour or something like that. I can have this structure to back all my project or all of my guys' project. And but probably if the structure is good and, you know, if the foundation is good, why not having other bands? You know,
exactly.
My friend's band, probably. I'm thinking about Apes. I'm thinking about...
I was going to bring them up. You know, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Or Boundaries from Quebec, or, you know, all my buddies, like, hey, do you want me to help you with that? Do you want me to book some shows, or do you want me, you know, I've been doing this shit by myself, like DIY for the past almost 15 years. So if I can do it for me, I can do it for you too. So this is a project, one of another. I have plenty of things. I am always, I don't sleep, man. I don't sleep. I just think I'm kind of an entrepreneur a bit.
I love that about you. And with a young child on the way, I can just tell you that you should sleep now because you'll sleep even less coming up shortly.
Do you have some?
I do. I have two. Talk to me about working with Donaldson. I always like to do a little segment about working with Donaldson when a band has chosen to work with him. Why did you choose to work with Donaldson? I believe you worked with him in the past, too.
Yeah. Before that...
Go for it.
Yeah, the Mikkeller, which is a Danish, it's from Denmark,
mm-hmm.
and they got quite a great selection, and they're imported by Vitriol.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a Ghost, which was the last thing that I drank when I was on my last summer of drinking. It was Ghost because it was summer, so I'm finally glad to find some Ghost. That's salty and sour.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I love it.
Love Gozes.
Yeah. This is good. This is a thirst quencher.
Mm. Mikkeller does good non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah, there's a few. So, Donaldson. It's the second album, actually. The first one was Infinite Punishment in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why we've heard from him. It was we wanted to work in Quebec. There's not a lot of people that doing heavy music in Quebec, that produce heavy music. Right now, there's Max Lacroix from House of Gain, and there's Chris. So last album was really all by Chris, like the drums, the guitars, the vocals, everything by Chris, recorded by Chris, but we kind of produced it. And we kind of, what I love with Chris is he recorded bands on tape.
Yeah.
You know, he've learned on tape. And he comes from that tech death and, you know, that sound more. And we came from the hardcore or maybe a little bit of trash metal before. Like a little bit of trash, but really the hardcore thinking. And we kind of, we got along so well, but kind of, we kind of butt up head artistically sometimes. Like, it's just like, yeah, we're going to do that. He's like, no, I don't work that way and stuff. And at the end, the product is really good. And he pushes us really hard. And I think we push him really hard. So for that album that's going to come out, there's a lot of things that's happening because of the pandemic. So I cannot take that out. It's we were supposed to record with a guy called we always want to move on and do something different. We just, it's not because we, we didn't want to make another album with Chris because we just want to try something different. Always to like move and you're not going to die. Always be on the movement. So we tried to do this album with Randy LeBeuf, which was like the kind of right hand of Will Putney.
Yep.
So the pandemic just, everything shut down. So I was like, okay, now I cannot have you. We had this kind of different sounds, like with more longer songs, with like 5 minute songs, like more death metal influenced. And I said, nah, there's something that's not quite polished and finished. And I wanted to have somebody from the outside to work with us. So I called my buddy who's Canadian, called Christopher Rawson. From Walls of Jericho.
Oh, yeah.
And Walls of Jericho and Stick to Your Guns. So I called him like, hey, can you just come in Quebec City for a week and just try to polish this album? We've never done that before, but I feel like we need to an outside input. So he came, he worked with us. And then pandemic is total lockdown. Like, we cannot do nothing. We cannot go in Montreal. I'm like, what are we going to do? Like, let's try to record the guitars here in Quebec City. So we called Raf from Broil.
Yeah.
You know him? Yeah, he's your sound guy, right?
Yeah.
So Raf helped us. We rented like a kind of huge warehouse near the port, like this huge space so we can have like the distance and something like that. So he helped us. We tracked the guitars, like the whole, you know, and we tracked the drum first, like on, we never done that before. Before it was like track the drum first and then track the guitars and stuff like that. But now it was like, just let's program a drum. Let's record a guitar. And then we called Chris, you're the best around. Can you do the drums? He said, of course. So he tracked the drums and then things got really crazy with him because he was involved with some production in Europe and something like that. He said, dude, I cannot do the vocals. So I said, oh shit. So we went to Max at House of Gain to do the vocals. So now the album was like, first it was like, there was one version of the album, like before the pandemic. And then we went and worked with one guy to another guy, to another guy, to another guy. So it became kind of crazy. So right at the end of the vocal, I said, okay, what are we going to do with that album? We have to get it mixed. And so we tried to send it to different people, like a blind test mix. And your buddy, Chris, just went crazy. He gave us the meat.
Okay, good.
He said, you bought...
I'm not surprised.
He was like, you always talk about low ends, you motherfucker. I'm going to give you some crazy. It's going to be insane and ridiculous, like a ludicrous amount of low end on the album. So that's what he did. And we dig that so much. We dug that so much. So we just went with him. And I love the guy. I consider him a good friend.
He's beyond talented, so underrated. And since he's got his mixing room in his house there that he's built for himself. Next level, just so proud
which
of him.
Is crazy. Yeah, you talked to me about that, like how crazy is that, that the woods, the foundation of you know, the woods don't touch.
Yeah,
just so that yeah, there's not shaking and stuff like that. So
it's the only massive investment you can put into a house that is completely useless and detrimental to the value of the house when you're trying to resell it.
exactly. I'm gonna give you a cue that it's supposed to be out, like, it's not a stunt, actually, but it's a real thing, but it's going to be out. There's a thing that we've done, and there's only with Chris that I can do some things like that. There's an extra layer to give the bottom that we needed and the thickness and the fatness. We literally tracked a poutine track.
No.
Yeah, there's a poutine track, and you can ask him.
I'm going to.
There's going to be proof. It's going to be all over the internet. There's going to be photos of the poutine with mic'd up and stuff like that. So there's a whole track of poutine on the album.
And
it's yeah, so you're the first to know. You and all your listener. So yeah, there's things like that that I can do with Chris. I love the dude, man. So
I love that.
And good things are about to happen to him, so because he sounds good, he works good, he's nice.
What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty, host of the Punk Rock NBA podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. My podcast is all about doing what you love for a living, and every week I sit down and talk to people who have done exactly that. For example, musicians like Tommy from Between the Buried and Me, Matt from Periphery, Lil Lotus and Shinigami, among many others, photographers, artists, designers, YouTubers like Glenn Fricker and Sarah Dici, and I unpack exactly how they got to where they are today with the goal of helping you do the same. So if that sounds cool, you can listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com, and I'll see you there.
Dan, thank you so much. I'm going to open up the floor to the Thirsty Thursday gang. If any of you have a question, you know the drill. You can raise your digital hand, and you can ask Dan a question. As usual, first up, Dervites of the Whispers from the Void podcast. Go for it, bud.
Hello, hello. What's up?
What's up?
So my question, I will steal it from Matt because he's always asking for if you have a beer to make forget the, for that band or that band, but most of you are sober, so let's put a twist. If you have a non-alcoholic beer to do, what would it be? Forget the shot, or even for you yourself, like a signature or something.
This is a trick because I love to do it, and I'm good friend with. Do you know Isaac? Isaac from who used to start the Trou du Diable?
Yeah.
He's not with them anymore. He's into the gin right now. And so I always ask him, like, could it be great to do a beer? What kind of beer? And I think, sadly, I don't think that we'll ever see a beer, like even a non-alcoholic beer, forget the shot, because my singer is straight edge, and in that ethos, there's no mimicking. There's a thing that it's a difference. So, but I'm probably will go with coffee. I'm gonna do a collaboration with coffee at some point. But if I have to choose beer, and I think I would still go with probably Trou du Diable and do something like, non-alcoholic tropical IPA, yeah.
That could be fun. And next show you do, if you do a show in Quebec, I will come. I'm near.
Thank you. I can announce that too. We have rented six, we're going to do some, hey, I haven't played a show since 2019, man.
Wow, yeah.
Which is crazy. It's never happened in my whole life. Mm-hmm. Since I'm like 14, it was at least one show a week. So, well, there's going to be a few warm-up shows in March and something, but we're going to go far and deep into Quebec. But to release the album, I've rented big venues, like six. We're going to do six shows all around Quebec. Like, there's going to be Imperial Quebec, there's going to be probably Club Soda, and a few of other shows. And it's going to happen like last weekend of May, first weekend of June.
Amazing.
Be there.
I'll be there for the Quebec one.
Thank you, Dovites.
The other half of the Whispers from the Void podcast, Evan Welch, go for it.
How you doing, buddy?
Thank you. I'm doing good.
I had a question pertaining to sort of the scene itself. How do you feel about the metal and hardcore scene sort of like combining over the years? Do you feel that it has benefited or hurt both scenes?
I guess I will be positive about that because I'm more probably the invader. Like, I know that there's more of the hardcore kids that went into, like, that the hardcore was their kind of gateway into some more extreme stuff. That was the case for me. I grew up listening to punk and hardcore, and then I went into Slayer, and then I went into fucking all the dead classics and stuff. So I'm happy because I'm really happy. The best people that I've seen around is coming from the metal scene. So I'm really happy to see that blend together. I don't know. I know that there's some fight in the pits between the kind of mosher and the slam dancing and stuff like that and the different things. So, but on stage, Get the Shot is always pushing to be the more inclusive. So this is a good thing for me. We try to have like a 50-50 ratio of female and male. And we try to have different kind of people and different kind of... I love that when we released the last album, Infinite Punishment, in Quebec City, there was two kids, like probably something like 15. I hate to say kids, but
young adults.
Two people from, teenagers, 15 years old, with fucking corpse paint, you know? I was like, Jesus Christ. And if you feel that way, this is cool, man. Just this is your thing. You like get the shot. You like to dress like black metal. I'm happy. So for me, it's a good thing, but I'm not in the pit and I'm not like... I'm too old to mosh, and I'm not getting out of mosh retirement. So I'm having a few beer behind, and I'm just talking with different peoples, and I'm playing. I love to include like some metal band on the lineups and something like that. So for me, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I've always felt that it's more a fan problem than it is a band problem.
Yeah, but I know that there's some, I've seen some battlefields like during Hatebreed shows and something like that. And, yeah, I don't know. I think I've said, I rest my case.
No, I like the answer. I'm from the Boston area, so I very much so, I can't go to a show without some sort of fusion. There's always gonna be it, whether it doesn't matter how death metal it gets, there's always going to be a hardcore aspect of the show. But that's just because it is Boston, you know. You're always gonna have a hardcore undertone no matter what.
And you talk about Boston, shout out to Bane, that they were the first one to bring Get the Shot on tour. And Bane was always kind of between punk rock and hardcore too, and they were dancing between it, and it was great. Anyway, like, I love the alternative music and the heavy music and loud music, so let's get together.
I realized I had a question that I didn't ask you. The name, Get the Shot, mm-hmm. Now it's associated to something not so fun.
Is it? Because I've done my research.
I'm just curious what your mindset is now that your name is associated to something that's a bit polarizing.
You know, I thought about it only one time when I'm about to pay for physical publicity, you know, some billboards.
Yeah.
The next album. And I was like, just at first I wanted to have like just Get the Shot. I was like, okay, Quebec City, that can go. But for Toronto, you know, Get the Shot, I'm saying, nah. It's not cool, man. So this is the only time that I thought about it. And I've tried to just Google it, Get the Shot, and we still come first. So I don't feel that there's... I don't know if it's going to be a problem. But I don't know. I will see it. But I don't think it's going to be a problem.
No, I don't think so either. I'm just teasing you a lot.
No, I know. It's a good thing. But most of the people are think that it comes from Pulp Fiction quote anyway. So it's going to... It remains.
You were around way before all this nonsense. Desboulos.
Yeah. Hey, Matt. How you doing?
Very good, you. Thank you for hooking up this conversation today. He's the one that made the introduction.
Do you know that the last time that I did cocaine was at Desboulos Fest? And this is why. It was on my girlfriend's birthday, and I said, you know, I'm not working, I'm not going to give you a gift. And I bought like an 8-ball of coke for $350, and I said, the next day I said, okay, I'm done. And the next week I was done with alcohol, but this is part of the story. Yeah, Desboulos.
Yeah, I have a question for Danny, because I think your talent as a speaker has not been used enough on this podcast. So can you tell us a good anecdote of tour, something funny or crazy that happens to you guys? Maybe I was there or not, because I used to tour on the road with Get the Shot.
Actually, so I haven't prepared any bit, Desboulos, and I know that that Matt tries to stay into that kind of format of conversation, format in our conversation. I'm like Henry Rollins. If you start me, I'm going to say, yo, I'm going to tell you this story quick, and it's going to tell 15 minutes. It's going to take 15 minutes.
I'm sure the Thirsty Thursday gang would be stoked. Go for it.
Okay, but maybe then you can talk about when we got arrested by Interpol, mm-hmm. or when we saw a vampire.
he just fucking pushed me in front of the bus, motherfucker.
the good Elfest, the good time you play.
because we've had many stories with Mikael. I've met him during his festival. For those who don't know, it's called Deboulot Fest. It was a festival that happened in Mirabel, and so we played there, and I met him, and I knew that he was doing some road managing for a band called Screamer. Do you know Screamer from Sweden?
The name, yes.
Yeah. So I said, yo, can you drive a van in Europe, across Europe? He said, of course I can. So I just brought him, and we brought him for a couple of tours, and we had so many stories, and he was in my drinking days. And Mikael was one of the... He loves those stories now, but back then he was more of a victim because as a tour manager, no, you can imagine, like, as a tour manager, okay, back then it was not, when we were not touring, like, in tour bus and hotels and stuff like that, it was more like sleep on the floor or a couch or something in a Sprinter. So it was like, okay, the show's done, now let's put the band to the crash house or to the floor or something. And I was like, Michael, now I need to go to the bar. It was like, no, dude, we just had to go tomorrow. We have to be on the road to drive like 15 hours or something like that. The band wants to rest. The band wants to sleep. I said, yeah, but I'm going to go myself then. He said, oh, shit, man, I cannot let Danny just go alone in a bar in Czech Republic. And so he was always like following me, and he spotted himself like in the back of the bar, drinking like fake gin tonic, which was just maybe just soda with a lime, and he was watching myself from afar, and I was doing my thing, my show, like okay, I come in a bar, and now do you want to drink, do you want to be my friends and stuff, and just buying the whole round and get myself into trouble and talking with everyone and just like always pushing the boundaries to the people. At some point, it was fun because I paid for the whole bar and stuff like that. But it got me in trouble a few times. Like, just there's some people that enjoying like to have like a band guy in a bar in the, you know, in deep Czech Republic. But there's some local people that was just like,
yeah,
dude,
they don't want that shit.
And at some point, I just put myself into, I don't know, gibberish talk and argument and something like that. And the guy just twisted my ear so bad. Like, you know, like an old teacher would do to something to your grandfather or something. He twisted, and I thought that my ears was about to fall out. So, and then Michael who was like in the back of the room, like just jumped and said, okay, we have to go and save myself. And, so yeah, there's always some stories like that Michael had to deal with it. So, at some point, I think I'm going to write a book to tell it all, like I said. Are you happy, Michael? I told an old story.
Time. Danny, thank you so much. Hanging out with me and the Thirsty Thursday gang, talking about your journey, discovering sobriety, and each day working towards a better you. You got a little baby on the way, and what a better way to welcome it into the world than sober and as a brand new person.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks a lot. So, and there's no problem of having a beer, and there's, I think it's great for you to try it, just to try to live your life. Like, it's, you know, painfully sober. Sometimes it can be painfully sober. So, and there might be there's excitement sometimes of just feeling things and being 100% there. So, good luck with that sober February thing.
This is a blast. Dan, thank you again for hanging out with us, being so honest, so open. I really appreciate that. Thirsty Thursday gang, unmute yourselves. Make some noise. Make some noise for Dan. And
noise! I love it.
Thank you all.
Thank you so much.
Recording stop.
Hey, thank you all so much for listening right to the end. You know that I love and appreciate that. Man, this was an amazing conversation. This conversation came together within a few days from being booked to recording it, and now putting it out a month later. It is just an amazing conversation. Dan's story is just so incredible, and I am just so proud that he has turned his life around and that he's just killing it. I'm so, so stoked to see everything that Dan accomplishes in the next few years, now that he can, because his life is more open and free, because he's put his addictive tendencies behind him and has focused them on more positive things. Massive cheers to you, Dan. Thank you so, so much for hanging out with me and the Thirsty Thursday gang. I absolutely loved it. Now, if you enjoyed this Vox and Hops episode, you should sign up to the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast mailing list. You can get on my website, voxandhops.com. That's VOXANDHOPS.com. And when you do that, you shall receive one email a week containing all of the details of everything that has happened throughout the past week in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast, including all the details for any episodes which I dropped throughout that past week, if I've been a guest on someone else's podcast, as well as any information for any cool new projects I have in the works before I announce them to the public. You will also get to see the album reviews, which the Vox and Hops album review crew have dropped that past week, and you will see which albums Jerry Monk, the metal architect himself, has added to the Brutal Awakenings playlist, which is the best playlist if you're looking for new music to discover, which is available on both Apple Music and Spotify. There is just so much going on in the world of the Vox and Hops Metal Podcast. I would hate for you to miss a single thing, so please sign up to the mailing list. The Vox and Hops Metal Podcast is brought to you by Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcasts. I hope you have a great rest of the week. I will be back on Friday with another Sober February 2022 episode, which is presented by Pitch Black North, the Satanic Tea Company. But until then, remember to enjoy life, metal, and craft beer. Cheers, Vox and Hops hits.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.